Welcome to Infinite Consciousness this week, and thanks for listening. This is Eva Herr, and I've got a nice guest tonight that's written a really good book on reflexology. I was real impressed. Welcome, Kevin. How are you? It's Kevin Coons with us tonight.
I'm glad to be here.
Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
So this is a really good book. I've been impressed with it. It makes it easy to use for somebody that's never known how to do this.
Why don't we try?
So tell us a little bit about you and a little bit about your background before we get started.
Well, mostly people ask me how I got into reflexology, and it really was an accident. I was going through a bookstore and saw an interesting book and picked it up, and it was on reflexology. And that was over 30 years ago. And so one thing led to another till I ended up, we've done 11 books on reflexology in 19 languages. And so it's been a journey. It's been an interesting journey.
This is a really good book. I've always wanted to know how to do this, but I never could get, you know, something that really showed me how to do it. And this is a really good book. And the cards, I keep them in my desk now at work.
Oh, great, great. So, Barbara is, you know, my wife, illustrated our first book. And in reality, this book has, you know, I mean, it has grandparents. And so what we have always tried to do is to simplify it and make it so that there's not a whole bunch of different techniques. There's three basic techniques. And instead of doing complex type of things, we try to do simple self-help type of things that, you know, people can understand, do quickly and easily.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about a lot of people don't really think that it is real, but you sent me a lot of research that goes on, and I'd like for you to tell some of our listeners about that, if you don't mind, so that they will know that this is really something that they can use in their life and get some benefit from it.
Well, that's always been our interest. In fact, our company is called Reflexology Research Project, and we started out not really knowing how it worked. And so along the road, we ran into, the first thing that happened to us is we started working with paralysis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a very strange kind of situation because we had a young man, and he was quadriplegic. And, we worked on him basically. He couldn't really afford it. But we worked on him, and at one point I was working on his feet, and Barbara, my wife, was working on his hands, because we used to work on him on our way home from the office. And I was working on his feet, and suddenly Barbara noticed that his fingers were moving, and she said, "Well, you know, can you move your fingers?" We didn't know much about quadriplegia at this point. And so he said, "No, Kevin's moving my fingers." And so he was a great kidder. We thought he was just basically, you know, joking with us. Mm-hmm. And about 2 weeks later, we finally figured out, no, I could press on a certain part of his foot, and the hand on the opposite side would move. Well, that's when we got into how does reflexology work. It really started to accelerate our studies and so forth. And it's basically when you press on a part of the foot, that information goes to each and every part of the body. The body has to share information. That's part of survival. If the body doesn't share information, then, you know, you don't survive. So if you injure your shoulder, you have to share that with the rest of your body in order that if the saber-toothed tiger is chasing you down, that you take the appropriate action. And so this led us into looking at, you know, how the body perceives pressure, stretch, movement, things like that. The really fascinating part, Eva, at this point is we're now starting to see research is backing up what we said years ago. They're actually doing things like EEGs, ECGs, they're doing functional MRIs. They've even done some studies out of Austria where they do what they call Doppler sonograms. They started out with the kidneys. They moved on to the digestive system. And what they're looking at is how blood flows. These are double-blind, randomized control studies, the whole nine yards, the whole thing. Well, what they're finding, like, for instance, the kidney study, if you press on the kidney area of the foot, it actually changes the blood flow to three of the major arteries to the, you know, the kidney itself on the body. And so we've always looked at this as a mirror image of the body. That's what reflexology is about. When you're working on a part of the foot, we feel like you're also influencing a corresponding part of the body. And now they're starting to verify it. So we're kind of in a golden age for us. For years we've talked about this, but never really had backup.
I'm curious, how does it increase the blood flow? Does it dilate the vessels, or what does it do?
It's a relaxation response. You know, we tend to think of relaxation as being a general body type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, stress and the relaxation effect and so forth can be very, very specific. Our body has protective devices. So if a part of your body is injured, sometimes it just basically walls off that area, shuts down the circulation in order to protect that part until you can gain enough energy, get enough resources together to repair. The first thing is survival. The next thing is, you know, if we can get beyond survival, then the next thing is self-repair. And then the third thing is really wellness. You know, that's the thing. If you can free your body from the tension it experiences, the body will start to repair itself. If you go on long enough, the body starts to really feel good, feel wellness, feel that sense of well-being.
When you were working on the quadriplegic, did you work on a specific area?
Yeah, and that's
the
one we're jumping up and down right now because some researchers out of Hong Kong have actually looked at that area. It's the one area, which is the eye-ear area, which doesn't follow particularly reiteration. It's, you know, or the mirror image idea.
Mm-hmm.
It basically is along the base of the toes. Highly active area. I could just press that area, and his fingers were like you were, you know, like strumming a guitar or something.
That's amazing.
Well, it just didn't happen with him either. It also happened with paraplegics. I'd be working on one foot, and the foot on the opposite side would move.
How long did it take before he got some result?
Well, that's interesting. It actually, with the quadriplegic, took a fairly short period of time. It was a matter of a couple of months. He started to get return of bowel and bladder, some bodily sensations, like, for instance, you know, sensing heat and cold. And from there, he went on. Now, you know, he even had some movement. He could write without a brace. You know, in other words, he could use a pen and write without a brace to do that. He could feed himself and so forth. It was slower on the paraplegics, but it was interesting from the perspective with the paraplegics, we over time we got more sophisticated kind of movements going on. It's our love, and we'd love to go back to this was unfunded research, and it doesn't go too far, but
yeah, I know how that is.
You know how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's got that problem when it comes to anything alternative.
Yeah, but I mean, we'd go back to it in a moment because the Chinese talk about, you know, they see the nervous system as being hardwired system, and acupuncture and things like that as being the wireless system.
Mm-hmm.
And what we were seeing was the hardwired system. You know, the Japanese, when I was in Tokyo, they explain reflexology with both the wired and the wireless. But in fact, we saw some very startling. It's like the nervous system was stripped back, and you suddenly saw the internal workings.
What do you mean when you say the mirror image?
Well, there's very interesting repetition that goes on throughout the body. The body's image is repeated several different times. We believe it's repeated in the hands, the feet. You've got auricular therapy where it's repeated in the ear, you know, iridology and so forth.
I'll hear to me.
Yeah, so it's a repeated pattern. And to me, you know, we talk about computers and information sharing. The body has to information share in order to, you know, movement is all about intelligence. And so movement intelligence is, you know, how we survive. If you take that misstep, you know, they once called a footstep a stumble caught in time. If you don't catch that stumble caught in time type of thing, you fall. And so it's very important that we have movement intelligence, and all the different body parts are contributing together to make that happen.
Tell me, you, in this binder that you sent me, you went over a lot of different health problems that people have, and one of them that I noticed that you had a lot of success with was prostate issues.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you know, but I'm a medical intuitive, and almost every man that I read has that problem.
Yeah.
What, tell me how, let's try to give some people some ideas that describe what you do anyway, since they don't have a book in front of them. But by the way, you do have some widgets on the internet, and tell them where that is so they can look at that.
Oh, yeah. You know, if they go to dk.com/reflexology, they can get not only the widget, but a whole interactive chart. They have an interactive chart of the feet. They have an interactive chart of the hands. Going back to the prostate, I once had a group of senior citizens that would show up on Friday. They were all males. And I couldn't figure out why they always wanted Friday. And so one of them at one point said, well, give me the tune-up. And I'm going, tune-up, tune-up, what are they talking about? So I asked him, and he said, well, you know, he found out from his friends that if I worked on them, they could go out and successfully date for the weekend.
Really?
Yeah. I felt kind of, you know, I didn't quite know how to think about this. But at any rate, the point is that, you know, the prostate is under a lot of stress. It's kind of down the midline of our body. And so the area for it is on the heel. On the side of the inside of the heel.
On which foot, does it matter?
It's split down the middle. So, you know, when you're looking at the feet, you're going, the right foot represents the right side of the body, the left foot represents the left side of the body. Some organs are split down the middle. So I'd work both sides. And it's going to be on the inside of the heel, you know, between the ankle bone and the back of the heel.
Okay.
About halfway down.
And how do you do it?
Well, you know, a simple one to me is to take a golf ball or, you know, even one of those super balls, something, some type of ball, and just roll it around that area. And it's you know, it works very well. You know, I find a lot of times men with prostate problems have what they call petechial hemorrhaging, which is really that purplish hemorrhaging along the surface of the skin.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that that's causing it. It's more that that is a reflection that there's stress within that area.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just take a golf ball. Now, it's great for females, too, because their reproductive areas, just, you know, it's in the same spot.
Does it have anything to do with increasing testosterone at all, or just...
We haven't gotten to that test yet, but I would suspect that. I mean, you know, we're going through neurotransmitters right now in the testing, which is fascinating to me. Dopamine.
Oh, tell us about that.
Oh, dopamine, serotonin. You know, there's just... It's interesting because they're looking at cortisol, which cortisol is obviously the stress hormone.
Mm-hmm.
And, they're actually breaking it down that close.
Now, what are you doing to increase the neurotransmitters? Or I guess with norepinephrine, would it decrease that?
Well, it tends to normalize.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in other words, it's not going to increase something, you know, that's... Some people are fearful because they think, well, if I do that, that'll increase it. No, the body has its own intelligence, so it's going to figure out. You know, what you need to do is free the body to do what it does best.
That
you know, it's like...
I
chat sometimes with Dr. Sapolsky. He's the one who wrote, Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. And the point is we need these, you know, different hormones and neurotransmitters and so forth. But at times we don't need them in the quantities we do. We need balance.
Right.
You know, it's like cortisol. We need cortisol. But it's a stress hormone. Too much of it, and then we start to get stress-related disorders.
So where do you rub for that?
Actually, there's a real interesting one. This is where the functional MRIs are coming in now, too. There's in acupuncture, they call it K1. But it's the solar plexus area. And it's right along the diaphragm. On the foot, that would be right at the base of the, you know, where the ball of the foot, you know, you kind of go from the ball of the foot goes into the arch.
Mm-hmm.
It's right along that border where it goes from the dark skin to the light skin.
Okay.
Right along that border is going to be the solar plexus area. Very soothing. One of the best areas. If I get somebody in that's very nervous, I start out with that area and I'll work it quite a bit just to get them loosened up to begin with. But it's a great overall area for all kinds of stress-related type of things.
What about blood pressure?
Same area, but I'd probably continue on up between the up the ball of the foot, you know, all the way up to the base of the toes. You know, blood pressure, it can come from a lot of different sources, too. But, as a general type of thing, I'd work solar plexus on up.
Now, it seems to me that it would be a good thing for things like TMJ.
Yeah.
What would you do for something like that?
There's this, and by the way, it's interesting because it also, you know, works areas around in the brain in that area, too. There's some interesting areas there, too, but it's on the side of the big toe.
On the inside or the outside?
Outside. Well, towards the little toe side.
Okay.
And, yeah, I've read feet for a long time, and by reading feet, I mean you see certain physical signs.
Like what?
Well, there on TMJ, a lot of times I see, like, you know, like a curtain, you pull the pleats together. It's kind of like a pleated area in there. It's very tight at times. You know, it's even at times the toe is drawn down. You know, so, you know, that I'll tend to see with TMJ. Say somebody has tension around the back, you know, the base of their skull. A lot of times you get a callus around the base of the big toe.
I have that.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was connected to anything, but I do have that base of the skull thing.
Yeah, that one, calluses are great for reading feet.
Well, tell us some things that you know. From doing that.
Well, like, for instance, if you see a callus around the back of the heel,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times people are throwing their weight towards their back. So they're going to tend to have, you know, lower back type of things going on. A callus around the little, you know, on the ball of the foot just below the little toe, you know, that to us is a shoulder area. And a lot of times they have shoulder type of things going on.
What if you have a callus on the top of your little toe?
Top of the little toe, you're making contact with the shoe. But it'll also, a lot of times, you'll tend to find that the shoulder will be affected. You know, it's kind of chicken or egg. You know, if you are constantly making contact with your little toe, you're affecting the whole circuit. So a lot of times people say, well, did the problem start first from the body or did it start from the foot? Well, the foot's not necessarily causing the problem, but it can influence it. So if you've got a callus on your little toe, that's a constant irritant along that circuit. And a lot of times people will have, you know, arm and shoulder type of things going on as well.
Mm-hmm. You talked a little bit in this folder that you sent me, this binder, about diagnostics with it. What did you mean by that?
Well, really interesting studies have come out. We're not terribly good at telling you, you know, we won't beat, you know, like medical tests and, you know, that type of thing. But there's some very interesting type of things going on with, the Israelis did a series of studies, and they found we're pretty good at figuring out what system's involved. But I'm not going to beat an X-ray machine and so forth. But people think I'm a great diagnostician. I'm not. What I am good at is figuring out what we call stress cues. In other words, to me, that a callus is a stress cue.
Mm-hmm.
It can be the color of the foot. A variety of things can be stress cues. But that's, you know, a lot of people will say, well, you know, we did this study, you're not terribly good at diagnostics. Well, you're going, well, it depends on what you're talking about. You know, if you're talking about diagnostic for stress, actual medical problems, no, we're not going to beat the test. But if you're talking about figuring out where people's stress lies, we're pretty good at that.
Give us some examples.
What's that?
Can you give us some examples?
Well, you know, it's funny. I think sometimes this it's almost spooky, but I'll have people, they'll come in, and I never tell people what's wrong with them, by the way, because, you know, that's one, there are, you may see a stress cue, but, hey, people with positive attitudes, mind over matter and so forth, they don't particularly have that problem. So you got to be a little careful about that. But I will run into problems. I had a man one time come into the office, very tense person. And he actually told me, he said, well, I'm not, you know, I asked him, now do you get a little tense and so forth. He actually had his fists up by his ears, and you could see the whites of his knuckles, and he said, no, I'm never tense. Well, I ran into his kidney area, and it was very, very sensitive. And I said, well, do you ever have problems with the kidneys and that type of thing?
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, I, you know, never had a problem with my kidneys. Well, 2 weeks later, he came down with kidney stones.
Interesting.
And the funny part about that is he blamed me for them, which I thought, I caused them. But, you know, it's there's a variety of situations. I wish we had a closer relationship, and it's coming, but a closer relationship with the medical community, because, you know, we do have insights into what's going on in somebody's body, and times, you know, we do see things prior to them actually getting a diagnosis on them and so
forth. Doesn't surprise me. Another thing I wanted you to tell us about, in this binder, there was also something about a 5-year-old who recovered from a vegetative state. Tell us about that.
Could you say that again?
You said there was a 5-year-old boy who recovered from a vegetative state following an accident.
Yeah, that particular piece of research I'm not real familiar with. We have had situations where, and it depends. I was just watching something on that tonight, and it depends on what type of vegetative state's going on. I actually was in Lubbock, Texas at one point. They brought me to a ward with a young man who had gone into a coma.
Mm-hmm.
And he had, been thrown by a bronc and went into this. And so I was working on his feet, and I hit one point, and he sat up and grabbed his foot and said, that hurts.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Another one that I had, I'm not trying to give false hope here, because basically what this show tonight, it was on 60 Minutes, where they basically talked about the different states. Some states, that's the way it is. But there's some states where they do believe now that the people are reachable. Well, I had a woman at one point, and it was, she was supposed to be in a coma. And so when I hit her feet, she said, let go of my feet, you're hurting me. Well, they said, oh, she's not in a coma. And so the doc, you know, I'd worked on her for a while. The doctor came in later on, and he's sitting there, and she would, she'd senile dementia and so forth, but she would try to get up on one foot and try to kick me with the other foot. And he said, oh, she's not paralyzed. And I thought, well, I've been trying to dodge your feet for about 6 weeks now. I don't think she's paralyzed. So, any rate, it depends on the situation. But, you know, with her, she was my, how would you put it? She was my learning, you know, she taught me a lot of things. Let's put it that way. At one point, I was in the room with her husband, and she stopped breathing. You know, I wasn't even in the same room with her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody panicked and ran out of the room. So Barbara happened to be there with me, my wife, and we went in, and nothing, you know, no pulse, no breath, no nothing. And so Barbara looks at me and says, do what you know. And there's a revival point on the foot. It's right dead center in the middle of the toe.
Which toe?
I do both of them.
I mean, which one?
Which point?
Which toe?
Which toe? The big toe.
Okay.
Big toe, right dead in the center. And I hit it.
Of the pad or of the length of the toe?
Right in the middle of the pad.
Okay.
And by the way, normally we don't recommend knuckles and instruments and so I'd use anything I could at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Worry about the soreness later. Any rate, she sat up and started kicking. And so I said, well, Mrs. W, do you know who I am? She said, yes, you're a jackass. So we knew she was back because she always talked to us like that.
That's amazing.
And I just recently was in Ireland and the same thing happened. And it was a rare disorder where the only symptom is sudden cardiac death. And we happened to be staying with this, friend. And he had just been diagnosed, they just said he had it. Well, he went out. And so I hit him 10 times on one toe, 7 times on the other toe, and he came back out.
Wow, that's amazing. What about back pain? So many people have disc and back pain.
There's a direct connection. Every time you take a footstep, you're sending what they call heel shock.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes through the body. It goes at 200 miles an hour up through the body and can actually fracture bone along the way. And, I look for callusing around the back of the ankle. I look for puffiness on the inside just at the top of the heel. Also, high arches, very commonly high. They used to think that, they didn't even accept people in the army because they had flat feet.
Mm-hmm.
High arch is much harder on your body. And so, low back pain is probably one of reflexology works real well with that. And if you do have low back pain, I'd get a simple foot roller and at least do some foot rolling.
Wait,
just roll
the
on the foot roller.
On the arch.
On the arch, just loosen. You know, when you think about it, that foot is a shock absorber.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's too tight, it's like you took a board and you just hit it on the sidewalk, and it just reverberates up. Instead of being like a shock absorber, that you accept the ground rather than you fight it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, low back to me, they're connected. They knew years ago they did studies on this, where they connected heel shock to low back pain. And so the point I try to make with people is if you can improve every footstep you take, then it's going to be every footstep you take is going to help your body rather than actually, harm it.
I never did what you told me to because I forgot what it was. But on that, I have on the outside of my eye, on the right eye, just like if you put your finger on the outside of the orbit and then move it down like maybe a quarter of an inch. I have a puffy spot right there.
On the big toe?
No, my eye.
On the eye. I remember now, yeah.
Something's got to be there. What could cause that?
You know, it may be injury related.
I don't think it is. It's been there forever, and it's just a little swollen spot, just a little round swollen spot about the size of a dime.
Yeah.
Like a little bit of edema right there.
Frequently I can't tell, where the cause is, but where I would go would be that eye area. And the other place I'd do is work around the big toe. And if you find a particular sensitive spot, stay with it.
Okay.
Because it's probably related to that area.
Okay.
That's what I try to do is I'm looking for what's most outstanding.
Oh, so you just move around on your foot until you find a sore spot and then that something's wrong there.
Yeah, in fact, one of the old pioneers used to say, find the sore spot, rub it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad way to do it.
What about thyroid issues? Is this kind of...
That one,
that?
To me, is that, when you look at the neck of the toe, big toe,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'd work all around that area. I also work for tension from the solar plexus on up.
And it causes it, no matter what it is, low or high, it'll help regulate it? Is that
Yeah, that's the interesting part about it, and I think this is where we're looking for the further research. What it does is the body seeks homeostasis. It seeks a balance point.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's too high, it's going to bring it down. If it's too low, it's going to tend to bring it up.
You also talked about in this binder you sent me about work-related stresses, and that it decreased a significant amount of employee work loss of time.
Yeah, you know, the recent one they've been talking about is that they're connecting that now to heart attacks and a lot of work-related stress. They're now making the direct connection on it.
Really?
Yeah, and it's particularly bad when the stress is, you know, you can be in a high-stress job and yet function well and so forth. So I have a little mantra I tell people. What you want to do is you want to interrupt stress, and you want to do it frequently. Stress won't kill you. It's the continuity of it.
Right.
If it goes on and on and on, it's going to tend to, you know, break you down.
Mm-hmm. What about carpal tunnel? That seems like it would be something that would help that a lot.
Yeah, and I was talking to a friend of mine, his girlfriend. She's, you know, single mom, a three-year-old, and so forth. And we started walking through some of the things. A lot of times people think, okay, carpal tunnel, it's right in the hand. True, it is. That's where the disorder is going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually involves the whole body. If you're under stress, your carpal tunnel is going to be a lot worse. So, yeah, you can work. I don't like to work a lot of times directly on an area that's, you know, it's under extreme stress. But I'll work like the elbow because that all is in the same zone. It's all in the same, you know, path. But I also like to work up into the neck area as well. Because, you know, that little bump on the back of your neck there, they call that the seventh cervical.
Oh, yeah. You mean where the two things from your head to your shoulders connect?
Well, right at the base of the, you know, where your shoulder, you know, it's a little out, kind of a...
Oh, yeah, okay.
Seventh cervical, basically. Well, you know, that affects everything down into the fingertips. And so, if, you know, a lot of times people get numbness in the fingers,
mm-hmm.
their fingers get cold and so forth, it's not the hand. The hand is just reflecting what's going on in the neck. The hand is just, you know, I mean, it's if the seventh is under stress, it's going to affect the hands as well.
Interesting. Could this help people with hearing loss or tinnitus?
That's an interesting one. I actually have somebody who controls their own tinnitus. She,
really?
You know what? If you go to the ear area,
mm-hmm.
along the base of the toes, and you take your finger and you dig in and you find a sore spot, she found it. And she was able to shut her own, you know, ringing off. Yeah. Yeah, and she's very proud of that. She tells everybody
about
it.
I would be, too. I mean, I don't have that, but I've had a lot of clients with that.
Well, if you want a stress cue, look for if the first, you know, the little pinky toe is drawn down, I'll start asking, do you occasionally have ringing in the ears?
Interesting.
If the last two toes are drawn down, I'll ask if they're actually, you know, having constant ringing.
Interesting.
If the toes are drawn all the way down to where they're touching the pad of the foot, I'm asking about, do they have hearing problems?
So you would rub on those toes?
I'd rub, yeah, the toes, but particularly the base of the toes. We now see that, and some of the functional MRIs and so forth are coming out with the fact, you know, we have a part of our brain that integrates all kinds of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And we really do think that that's a highly neurologically rich area. And, yeah, I'll tell you, I'm rubbing it more and more on myself after reading some of this research.
Tell us some of the best success cases that you've had.
Oh, gee, that's you know, that's a good one.
It's so interesting to hear about that.
Well, you know, Let me think about that. You know, it's kind of, when reflexologists sit around, we talk about miracle stories. And, you know, I guess I've had people, I'll take my own nephew. My nephew came down with flesh-eating bacteria.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, and he was 6 years old at the time. And, you know, it was really, I had had a brother die earlier, and you know, like 2 weeks earlier. So it was, the family was in crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And we were about to lose his grandchild, my grandnephew, actually grandnephew. And so I went into the hospital. I worked on him usually about twice a day for 22 days.
Yeah, where did you work on him?
Well,
did you work on the spot of where the thing was happening, or did you work on something else?
I worked the whole foot particularly, but I really went after... See, it was going through the pericardium, and it was going for the heart.
Oh, dear.
And so I really worked that area quite a bit. I worked the lymphatics a lot and so forth. I wouldn't say this is something that any person particularly could... You know, it was not an easy job, let's put it that way. But... He recovered completely, didn't have any, you know, the stripping or the amputation or any of that. And he's now 16 years old, strapping kid. He could play probably center for a football team, you know, but he's doing fine. And he never...
Did you see a marked difference when you started doing that than before you started doing that?
Well, he was, you know, he was dying. You know,
really?
They had two people go in at the same time, and they didn't make it. And they said his chances were, you know... At one point, my niece was saying to the... I guess the nurse she was talking to, she's saying, well, you know, there's other sicker kids. She said, no, at this point, your kid is the sickest kid in this hospital.
Oh, my God.
And the turning point, I think, really was when... One day, he asked me... With children, I always try to... You know, I want them to want me to do this. I don't want to force it on them. So I always ask, do you want me to keep going? And he had me work for 2.5 hours, which is not standard. I mean, you really don't work that off, you know, that long. And that seemed to be a turning point. From that point on, he started really gaining traction.
That's
but, you know, I mean, we went through a lot. And I have to say, if you're talking about the most dramatic... Because we knew what we were up against. And we knew it wasn't good.
And you attribute it to the lymphatic system work?
I don't think it's any one thing. I think it was a combination of things. But the oddest part was, I forget what, you know, you lose track after a while, but a doctor walked in, female doctor. And she, I back up because I, you know, I used to call it undercover work because I didn't want to, you know, I mean, you could get caught and put in prison basically. But, you know, now it's like, you know, they don't get into that. But it was basically I back up because I, you know, I don't want to interfere with their work.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, no, I'll work right around you and so forth. So, you know, I went on and she did. And as she was leaving, she said, now make sure you work on the lungs.
Really?
And I was like, what planet am I on? Because up to this point, you know, but yeah. You know, and then we're getting more acceptance. I mean, you know, a standard now with hospice and cancer care and things like that in, you know, like England and Europe and so forth is coming to this country. They have a $3.5 million research study going on at University of Michigan, and they're doing it because it really does help with the, you know, the side effects of chemotherapy. And so it's become standard over there, and it's becoming, it's like just a list of things they do in the hospital, and reflexology is one of the things they do.
That's amazing. Well, what? Tell me about the research that's going on.
The research? I'm sorry.
The research that you're working on.
Right now, we're looking at functional MRIs. Now, what a functional MRI will do, will show you what part of the brain has activity going on at a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
So what they've done is they've pressed certain parts of the foot and they can show what part of the brain lights up.
And is it coming out to what the history has said it is with reflexology?
Yeah, that's the funny part about it. I didn't know. And it is kind of funny. I'll be honest with you, Eva. You know, you don't know. And I've talked to Dr. Cho. He's out of University of California at Irvine, and he did the study where they stimulated the visual areas, and they happened to be in the foot with acupuncture, and they showed it the visual areas of the brain light. You know, they lit up just the same as if you flashed a flashlight in somebody's eyes. And so I said to him, I said, well, can we do this? He said, yeah, but it takes a lot of money. And so now, it's interesting because we had nothing to do with this. We're now starting to, you know, like, analyze the research and so forth and put it in reflexological terms. But researchers have, you know, there's somebody out of Singapore who did one on, EEGs. And they found that if you rub the thumb, you change the brain waves, you know, more into a meditative type state, more, you know, alpha
wave.
Where
at? Where do you do it?
Just rubbing it.
Where? On the thumb?
The pad of the thumb.
Oh, okay. Have you talked to insurance companies?
Well, yeah. that comes and goes. I had an insurance executive tell me that if you can do it and you can do it cheaper, we would fund you. And I actually had a friend who told an insurance, executive too. He said, well, sooner or later, you're going to actually find this works and you're going to do something with it. You know, we're in a healthcare crisis at this point and things,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, you know, reflexology is what it is, but it works very well. And it's not a panacea. It's never been that. In fact, I can point to your studies, you know, where, and I also tell people I don't fly solo. You know, I'm not going to, you know, if you've got a problem, go to the doctor first, then come see me,
right.
And then I'll work along, you know, work along with it. But back pain. Back pain's a good one, because what are they going to do with back pain? They're going to operate? Well, if they operate, there can be complications and so forth and so on. Well, we traditionally do very well with back pain.
Now, does it help? Does it heal the disc, or does it just relieve from pain?
That's a real, you know, I mean, it relieves the pain, and whether it heals the disc or not, I don't know. But, you know, a lot of times people are very satisfied with the results.
It would be interesting to know.
Well, let me give you an example. I was once doing a demonstration at a health food store, Wild Oats. It's a big health food store. Anyway, this woman comes in, sits down. I pick up her feet, and I said, well, I've worked on these feet before. She said, you're amazing. You worked on my feet 10 years ago, and you only worked on my feet once. And as I walked out of your office, my neck popped back in place. And she said, you know, I always meant to call you and tell you, you know, because I never know. You don't know whether the person's gotten results or not.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I always meant to call you, but how did you know, that you'd worked on my feet before? And I said, you know, my joke is that I don't remember your face, but I remember your feet. And I said, you just have a distinctive stress cue on your feet. But the point is that, you know, the body has an incredible wisdom if it's released to its own devices. Our body oftentimes is using so many resources just to get through the day-to-day. Throw in injury, accidents, emotional stress, and so forth, and your body literally goes into a survival mode. And if you can convince the body things are okay, and that you can let go, the body goes to a more natural state, and it will heal itself. I've had to do things, you know, at times, you know, it's hard for me to believe. I've had women pass tumors through their uterus.
Really?
That's not supposed to happen.
What kind, you mean uterine tumors?
Yeah. And
what,
I don't know,
how did that
you know.
Happen? What would you do for that?
Well, you know, I was just working on them normally. I wasn't. They didn't even know they had tumors.
Wow, that's amazing.
But did I do it? No. The body, if the body can reach a certain state, it starts taking care of business. And I wasn't particularly, I didn't know they had tumors. They didn't know they had tumors.
Well, it seems to me, we know that the body's autonomic nervous system sends out signaling,
right.
Kind of like the Morse code. And it would
right.
seem logical if, nerves cause everything. So if you interrupt that signaling, it would help somehow, somewhere, it seems to me. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. What it is that what it does is it breaks the pattern.
Right.
Me, a foot is a stress pattern.
Right.
And so what it does is it breaks up that stress pattern. And then the body can, not spend all its time trying to survive the next moment. It can actually take time to heal itself.
Have you had any success with other kinds of cancers, like breast cancer?
I once say, that needs a lot more research. And I'd really be going out on a limb on that one, but I'd say that they're now, it's even fertility. They're finding out all kinds of different things. The AMA just came out with a study that said that stress was actually a primary factor in a lot of diseases. And, cancer, they're making the connection to stress.
Mm-hmm.
Infertility, they even have infertility tours now where you go on a cruise ship. And one of the things they have is they do reflexology on your feet.
Have they been successful?
Well, I know a guy in England. He had several kids named after him. There's fertility. And I'm saying that, is it the reflexology? Well, the reflexology reduces cortisol. Cortisol, when it's, the stress hormone, when it's in high levels,
mm-hmm.
interferes with, if you read, material on stress, it makes sense. You're not going to want to start, if you're under, famine and or whatever, we have a system that will shut down the parts of our system that aren't necessary. So it'll tend to shut down our digestive part. It'll tend to shut down the reproductive part and so forth. And it's basically so it can keep, things going on very fundamental levels. But once you start taking care of the stress part, then the body naturally starts producing more hormones and neurotransmitters that are going to make your body work better.
Has anybody looked at things like autism?
There's not a lot of studies I've seen on that, but I've read online it seems to help the autistic. Now, I used to work as a counselor. That's what I did before I did reflexology, and I was very familiar with autistic kids, and it's a very rough deal. But they seem to feel it helped the autistic with calming, being less agitated. Now, they've also found that with Alzheimer's. They've used it, and there actually is a study on that, where they've actually used it with Alzheimer's, and they found it, had a calmative effect.
Interesting.
But, I'd say the other thing about it, that is the other area I'd really like to look into. Because, I'll look at somebody's feet and I'll say, well, do you have trouble with your memory?
Now, what would you see for that?
Well, a lot of times what it is the second toe is parked behind the big toe and the third toe. Now, that's not Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's, we'd like to do some research in that direction because you get a little, almost like a pod coming out from the big toe, and it'll at times even go underneath the second toe.
I understand.
Well, it's like a flat little piece. It's like the toe is distorted, and instead of, it just comes out like an extra piece of skin almost, and it'll fit right underneath the second toe and actually block the second toe from actually making contact with,
Really?
But that's future research. But the point is, I just told a story on, I do a blog and so forth. I just told a story about the first DK book we did. You're seeing the third DK book we did, which is a complete reflexology for life. Well, the first one we did, the photographer was phenomenal. I mean, that's why we used her in all three books. Just a brilliant, brilliant person. And so I worked through the whole crew, you know, as we went along in the photo shoot. Well, photo shoots are kind of casual, so she had her shoes off and she had her feet kind of wrapped around the tripod. And I said, well, can I work on you? And she said, well, you know, I'm setting up another shot, but what do you think of my feet? And I said, well, how's your memory? She said, you know, I forget where I left the kids.
Now, tell me where you look for that.
Well, it's the...
Now,
if
will
you
it
look
be
at,
on a particular foot or just one of them?
Usually it's on both. But you'll see the big toe and the third toe are, like, together, and the second toe is actually sitting higher than back.
That's interesting. I'm looking at my feet right now, and I kind of have a little bit of that, and I do have a terrible memory.
Well, the other thing is if you're making contact with the second toe and there's an indent on your big toe.
An indent. If the second toe is contacting the third toe?
Well, sometimes what happens is the second toe is contacting the big toe, and you've got a little, you know, it's like a jigsaw puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
You can see where the second toe fits into the big toe.
I don't have that, I don't think.
Now, the worst was the ladies of the 50s where they wore those... And they come back every now and again. That's my nightmare. But basically, they get those pointy-toed shoes.
Yeah.
And you can pull their toes apart. They're kind of like a jigsaw puzzle. And you're wondering what impact that has, you know. I mean, headaches, neck aches.
What do your feet look like if you do have headaches?
Oh, a variety. There can be a variety of different things. You know, from callousing to... A lot of times you'll see toes will be like, you know, particularly if they have upper back, neck, those type of things, they'll have, their toes are like drawn in. They're like, you know, like claws.
Mm.
And that's, you know, what that is there's pain along the bottom of the foot. And the foot's trying to push itself off the ground. Well, with those type of people, a lot of times they have upper back, neck, shoulders, and a lot of times headaches because they've got so much tension going on in that area. But there's
so
a lot of stress cues for headaches. What's that?
It's so interesting. You can tell so much about just looking at a foot.
Well, you know, I've been doing it 30 years, and it's like you'll say to somebody, well, do you ever have you ever injured your tailbone? And they said, how'd you know that? And I'm looking at, you know, along the heel, on the inside edge, you'll see little bubbles, like little below the surface. It'll look like, you know, almost like bigger than pimples. There'll be real white little bubbles under the surface.
That's just amazing. What about the hands? Is there anything you can tell by looking at hands?
Yeah, the hands are a little tougher because they're out in the open, and so they get a lot of use and so forth, so it's a little harder. But the one I do is I hold back the fingers, you know, just kind of stretch them back with the other hand. And at times you can see, like, you know, the eye-ear area, for instance, is higher up on the hand. You know, it's like, you go down past the second joint, and that's going to be your eye-ear area. And sometimes if that's going to, you know, if you stretch your fingers back and that's white and stays white, then you, you know. I mean, the Chinese saw white as a depletion of energy, red as being an engorgement of blood. So we haven't even gotten into the colors that you can see.
Well, tell us about that. We've got about 7 minutes.
Well, color, you know, smokers are great. You hold back their toes and you see all this yellow. And it's not all smokers, though, which is interesting. But, yeah, in general, when you hold back smoker's toe, you see all this, you know, kind of mottled type of thing. And so color can tell you a lot. Now, you know, I see it as white is having trouble getting blood to an area.
Mm-hmm.
Red is having trouble getting blood away from that area. And a very good example of this is one of my clients. You know, he was traveling all the time. And he came back from a trip, and I said, what the hell did you do? He said, what do you mean? I said, I've worked on these feet for several years now, and suddenly they're just terrible. I said, what happened? I said, your lung area's got all this red and, you know, different things in it. He said, well, you know, funny you should say that. I was in Mexico City. It was the worst day of pollution in their history. And he said, and besides that, I walked through this gaseous cloud. And he said, I haven't felt right since. We got him to a toxicologist, and he actually was poisoned.
Really?
Yeah. And so he had red and white. It was just like modeled, you know, kind of a combination of that. But it was significant. I mean, it was, if you work on somebody's feet constantly, you get a pretty good idea what patterns are going to go on. And yeah, with color changes dramatically, it, you know, I get people to, you know, I get them to the doctors and I get them to the hospital. You know, because sometimes it can be very serious. I mean, particularly, you know, sudden type of things like that. But in general, you don't see that. I mean, that's fairly uncommon. But yeah, every now and again, you run into that.
This is just amazing to me that you can do all of that.
So, well, and I think I'm doing it by touch and so forth. Well, you know, I saw some amazing thermographs when we were in Tokyo. And the thermographs, they did this one where they now do pass in Asia, you know, their reflexology pass. And so they have rocks and logs and things. And it's based on an old system. It's called Takifumi, which means literally step upon bamboo. Well, you know, this was what the samurais would do. They'd go out in the forest, you know, the bamboo grove, and they'd split some bamboo and they'd walk on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so back in 1990, they flew us over there for a convention.
Who is they?
It was a foot roller company.
Okay.
They actually have electronic foot rollers now, which is pretty interesting. It's like if you really don't want to work at it hard, which I kind of like myself, but they have electric foot rollers. At any rate, they had this one test they did. They had a person walk on something like a beaded, you know, like those beaded seat covers. There was a beaded mat. And so they showed that there was not only blood flow change in the foot, but it also changed blood flow in the hand as well. And that's what we do. We connect. If you've got a problem in the foot you can't work on, you work on the hand. If you've got a problem in the hand you can't work on, you work on the foot. So if you injure your little finger, you work on your little toe, and so forth. And they actually verified it using this equipment. So down the road I expect to see where, yeah, I can do this visually. There are visual stress cues, there's sensitivity stress cues, there's, you know, just a variety of stress cues you can pick up. But eventually, I think, yeah, this will be part of what, when you go and, you know, get your medical exam and so forth down the road, I think they will look at this.
Probably down the road a bit, but I hope so.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us, we've got just a couple minutes, tell everybody where to get your book again and tell them how to contact you and any other information you want to give them.
Well, you know, if you want to go to one central spot, we have a website and lots of information. You can go from light to heavy, depending on what you want to do. But that's www.reflexology-research.com. And we've got, you know, the charts on there, and we've got research and some self-help and things like that. Also, DK does, the publisher did produce some interactive charts that are just, people are just going crazy over them. And that's at, again, dk.com/...
D as in David?
What's that?
I just want to make sure everybody understands D as in David.
D as in David, K as in King, .com/reflexology.
/?
Yeah, I think they call it a /.
Okay. And do you have an email in case somebody wants to contact you?
Yeah, it's, and I've had this for years. It's footsie, FOOTC, C as in cat, at mac.com.
And the name of your book is The Complete Reflexology for Life. And you've got, now do these cards come with that? Or
is it in the blue box?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, that was done off the DK, you know, DK book.
That's a great little thing. Perfect for my desk. Or for your desk.
I was fascinated. They did a really nice job on those.
They did. And the book is excellent. Really, it is.
Well, thank you. That was a team effort. We get all the credit, but, you know, we did have a good group behind it. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. I think this book is kind of more of us, you know, because what we wanted to do is do it so that it was something that was, you know, anybody could use.
Well, it's very user-friendly.
Yeah, that's what we wanted to do. So I'm glad to hear that that's the impact it had for you.
It's great. Well, thanks, Kevin, for coming on. I mean, this is really an interesting topic, and people that don't believe it, you need to believe it.
Well, appreciate it, and yeah, this was fun.